Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. This is Randy Fine, your show host. And today is Free Advice Friday, which is, I always do this on the second Friday of every month at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And this is the day that I will take your calls and also answer your questions and also answer letters that you have sent me with questions that you'd like to have answered on air. And if you'd like to call in and ask me a question today, it's 424-220-1801. That's 424-220-1801. So if you have a question that you would like to ask me, take advantage of this time that I'm here to answer it for you. The holidays are upon us, and this is a hard time for many people. So if you're struggling with depression or just memories from the holiday that you cannot shake, this would be a really good time to reach out to me for at least one session and let's get you feeling much better. I don't want you sitting around and feeling depressed, even though, you know, you might be depressed anyway, but I want you to be able to talk about it. So please contact me if you're feeling really bad about the holidays and really worried about things. So I have a letter here from Miracle 842004, and Miracle writes, "Hello, Randy. I've been following your podcast for several months now, and it has been life-changing. Thank you for all you do. I was born and grew up in Russia. Unfortunately, I have a very narcissistic mother. I was abused all my childhood, as she took credit for my accomplishments. I felt I mattered as a human only when I was a good child and did things for my mother. And when I made mistakes, I was physically and emotionally punished with harsh accusations such as, I did something on purpose trying to upset her, and I was a worthless child. I grew up and moved to the United States when I was 20. I am 31 now, and last year I made my mother a green card, so she also moved to the United States, and I let her move in with me because she had no one in this country. As a narcissist, her attitude and behavior towards me and my husband was simply despicable. Not to get into details, after living with her for 5 months, I had to ask her to move out. Of course, it didn't go well at all, especially for me emotionally. Even after my husband and I had to physically move her out of my house, she wouldn't stop coming over anytime she felt like it. So I moved and didn't give her my new address. Her accusations got only worse. She said, I will go to hell. She said that she regrets not having an abortion and giving birth to me. She said that she raised me and sacrificed everything for me, and how dare I hang up the phone on her. She said I owe her everything I have. She said she has the right to be rude or mean to me because she is my mother. She said she can come beat me with a belt anytime because she is my mother. It has been about 2 months since I went no contact. My question has to do with flying monkeys. Since now my mother doesn't have an easy access to call or come over anytime, she asks my aunts and uncles to write to me and ask how I am doing just to get some information. So my aunt recently wrote, "How are you? How are things with your mother? How is she?" Randy, how would you recommend answering these prying questions? Should I share that I am in no contact with my mother, or should I simply say that she is fine? Thank you again for your time. Well, this is always tough for us. It's tough for everybody. And the narcissist always finds a way to get to us. If you think that you'll never be contacted by the narcissist in your life, never say never. And I tell people this all the time that come to me for counseling, because I don't mean to scare them or scare you, but they know where their food supply is. It's like a cat, that a wild cat that you've been putting food out for every day. And then you stop. The cat gets hungry. It's going to come back. It's going to come back. And that's what the narcissist is. The narcissist is hungry. Hungry for narcissistic supply, adoration, admiration, and attention. So when the narcissist goes through other people, especially family members, this is particularly difficult, but this is exactly where boundaries come in. So we can cut a person out of our life. We can move away. We can change our phone number. We cannot let them have any access to us. As long as we continue to have access or somewhat relationships or in communication with relatives or people that know her, she will try to get things to us. And she thinks she's very smart, but she also has convinced these people that there's something wrong with you or me or whoever the abuse victim is. So they're going to probe and they're going to pry and they're going to try to be on your mother's, in this case, your mother's side. What we have to do when we establish no contact is we must set boundaries. This is very, very hard for people to grasp and very hard for them to do because it is very final. But a boundary, let's start with talking about the boundaries with the narcissist. When you decide that you can no longer take any influence of the narcissist in your life, this is a time to create a boundary. I think it's very, very important to make a statement to that person, as hard as it is and as much as we don't want to do that. I think it's very important to make a statement and say, I am healing, and I will no longer tolerate X, Y, or Z. And we can have a relationship as long as you stay within my parameters. And these are the rules. You cannot do A. You cannot do B. You cannot do C. You have to be very specific. And then you have to explain the consequences. If you do A, this is what will happen. If you do B, this is what will happen. And if you do C, this is what will happen. And the consequence can very well be that we will never have a relationship again. When you don't state that, it leaves a lot hanging out there. And even if you think it's implied, it's not implied. Because the narcissist doesn't read into anything. All they know is that they have a supply and they want it to continue. And it doesn't matter if you told them yesterday, 5 years ago, whatever. If you don't state very clearly what you are trying to do and what the consequences will be. And you can even, at this time, you can even use this time to say, you have been a very toxic force in my life, and I have suffered a great deal, and I'm finished. I no longer want to have that influence in my life, and so I will not be talking to you anymore. Now, once you do this, and as I said, I know this is really hard to do, and it's, and you want to find every way around it, but it really does have to be done. Then, with the people who are friends with your mother, relatives, anybody that you continue to be in contact with, you have got to say to each person, I am no longer in contact with my mother, and I would love to have a relationship with you, and I would love to continue that relationship with you. But my mother can never come into that. If you want to have a relationship with me, it's between you and me. You talk about your life, I talk about my life, we share things. The minute you bring my mother into this, even say her name, we cannot have a relationship anymore. Again, this is very hard to do, but during the time that you're trying to heal from narcissistic abuse, you must focus on yourself and keep yourself in a healing bubble. And that means that you have to protect yourself from any outside influences that are going to trigger you. So you have to not look at Facebook pages, or you have to block people from your Facebook page. You have to not answer phone calls or look at texts. You have to not hear through the grapevine what that person is doing, because you cannot possibly heal if you constantly have people bringing this person up in your life. You need a complete vacuum in order to heal. And that could take you a good 6 months to really, I'm not saying 6 months before you feel better, I'm saying a good 6 months before you're ready to deal with any of these outside influences. So it's very important that you make these statements so that you don't have to just avoid people, cut people out of your life for no reason at all, feel guilty about what you're saying or what you're not saying. You must define your boundaries. This goes with coworkers. This goes with everyone. This goes with sisters and brothers, aunts and uncles, neighbors, whatever it is. And this is the way that you have to deal with the prying questions. You have to eliminate the prying questions. So I know this is probably, like I said, very difficult for you. And if you need help establishing these boundaries, I certainly can work with you and help you get through this. You may not be completely ready to do it. And sometimes you want to do it in stages or steps. And sometimes there's things that you want to get out of the narcissist. There's things that you want, that you never got, that you want to get out, either favors or property or things like that. And you want to do that first before you sever ties. So it doesn't have to be done today, but all in, you know, everything considered, if you want to be protected from prying questions and nasty comments and shaming and blaming and all the things that people will do because they don't understand what you've been through, if you don't want to suffer re-victimization over and over and over again, if you don't want to be blamed as the perpetrator, then you have to set your boundaries. Now, that said, let's talk about being blamed as the perpetrator. You will be blamed as the perpetrator because the narcissist is angry. The narcissist is angry that you took away what he or she thought he or she owned for a lifetime. So when the narcissist takes someone hostage, whether they give birth to a child or meet them in a relationship, they believe that they actually own that person. And this is where objectification comes in, because they must objectify the person, turn that person into an unfeeling object in their mind so that they can do what they have to do, because the narcissist does feel guilt and shame. But he only feels guilt and shame about what he does to himself, not to anyone else. So he doesn't want to feel bad for treating people badly. So he has to objectify them, turn them into unfeeling objects. That way he can do what he wants and feel no remorse. And that's how he does it. So once he objectifies his victim, his hostage, he thinks he owns that person for life. And so when you leave, or even if he says goodbye to you, it doesn't matter. You are his property forever. And so there's a lot of anger around you not being there to supply him or her. So they are going to act out. And you could not have contact with this person for a couple years, and they will come back. They will try you. They're never going to give up. I had a situation with my mother recently. I hadn't talked to her in over a year, and I really hadn't even talked to her in 2 years, but I had to see her at my daughter's wedding. I said one-word answers, very, very, very abrupt, nice, but abrupt, and avoided eye contact at all costs. But anyway, my sisters have gotten back into perfunctory relationships with my parents. They feel like as long as my parents are nice, they can be nice. And as long as my parents are alive, that there's no reason that my parents should not be in their lives. And I respect that. I don't think it's the healthiest thing for them, knowing what I know. But I respect that. But my mother had been really good. My sisters had been telling me, oh, mom and dad have changed. They've seen the light. They now know what they've done to us, and they want to make amends. Yeah. Well, I don't believe that, because I know a narcissist never changes. But anyway, my mother had a moment, and she went off on one of my sisters. No sooner did she go off on one of my sisters, when I didn't even know about it, I got a phone call on my cell phone. I saw that it was her number, and I didn't answer it, because you never want to pick up a phone when a narcissist calls you. You always want to be the one in control and choose to call them back or not call them back, and choose the amount of time that you're going to be on the phone if you are going to be on the phone. So the message was one that I've gotten before when she's trying to hoover me back in. Let's stop all this nonsense. We've been estranged for too long. It's time we work things out. She never said, I'm sorry. She never said, I know I've done things. No. Let's let this go. She said, and your father is not here right now. So I really want to talk to you right now. I don't want to leave a message with everything that I want to say. So please call me back. Well, as soon as I got that message, I knew that she was trying to put me back in to the golden child spot. Person who was acting as the golden child had pissed her off. And so she couldn't leave that space open. And so she's trying to maneuver me back into that space. Well, I never did call her back, but I did call my sisters, who were talking to each other, and we were able to do a when you all get together, I can't think of the word, all get together on the phone, you know, and we were able to talk to each other, and I said, oh, okay, so that's what's going on, that's what I figured. And then my sister got back in her good graces, and I didn't hear from my mother again. So She has never stopped trying. And if you think that the narcissist is gone forever, don't fool yourself. But like I said, I don't want you to fear that that person is gone. I don't want you to fear that that person is going to come back, because this is the time of healing. This is the time where you develop the tools and strategies to be able to handle the situation. Now, one of the things that is very important when you're dealing with a narcissist, and I may have said this before, and I may have said all these things before, but it bears repeating because it's important to know. Narcissists feed off of human emotion, good or bad. They feed off of you kissing up to them, and they feed off of you telling them they're pieces of crap and worthless. Either way, it's equal. They feed off of that, and it keeps them coming back for more. So what you want to do with a narcissist is be bland and dry and show no emotion and show no feelings and react to nothing. And it drives them crazy. If you want to punish a narcissist, that's the way to do it. And you'll see them groveling, trying to come back to you. And all of a sudden, they're going to be the person you wish they'd always been, because they fear losing you, because you are supply. They fear losing you. And so they change their strategy. And that's all it is. If they're being nice to you, it's because they're changing their strategy to rope you back in, suck you back in, hoover you, so that you are theirs to feed off of again. And they believe that they're much smarter than you could ever be. So when you're dealing with a narcissist, no emotion whatsoever, no confrontation, no reactions, no answering them back, no defending yourself. This is what they're goading you into. And this is what makes them happy. And, you know, everybody that I talk to has this sense of, you know, wanting to get revenge on the narcissist, the person who has really wreaked havoc in their life and really changed their life in a very bad way. So how do we punish? How do we seek revenge on the narcissist? Well, I've said this before, too, and I'll say it again. You cannot beat a narcissist at their game. You will never outsmart a narcissist. You will never make them see who they are. You will never be able to confront them and have them go, yeah, she's finally figured it out. No, they don't hear that. All they hear is, she's upset. I made her upset. I made him upset. Goody. Now I have her back in my good graces. So there is nothing that you can say to either redeem yourself or to confront the narcissist, or to blame them, or to let them know you're onto them. If you feel like you want to say these things, go ahead and say it. But don't fool yourself into believing that these things are going to make any difference whatsoever, because the narcissist only hears, they're still mine, and I can still manipulate. That's all they hear. They're listening. They're scrutinizing your words. And they know that when you say anything with emotion, that you are theirs, and they still have the ability to manipulate you. So the way to deal with a narcissist is to give them nothing, no emotion, no confrontations, no nothing. That's, you know, sometimes hard to do if you are living with a narcissist, but seems to work for everybody that I know that does it effectively. If they walk into a room and you walk out, if you sit there silent while you're eating dinner, it will drive them up the wall. It will make them crazy. That is worse than any confrontation you could ever do. And so is no contact. It drives them crazy because they can't get to you. But no contact can only be effective, as I said at the beginning of the show, when boundaries are set and not allowed and the person is not allowed to cross them. The minute that person crosses a boundary, that's it. They don't get a second chance. Because you can't afford to give them a second chance. They've had enough chances. They've had all the time that they were influencing your life in such a negative, destructive way. They had their chance over and over. And it wasn't like you never asked them kindly to please not do that or to talk to you better or you don't appreciate that kind of treatment or condescending attitude or anything like that. It's not like you haven't said it before. You have said it. So they've been given chance after chance after chance after chance. But they don't act on it and they don't change because you have not set the boundaries. So that's what I want to stress today based on the question. I have a few minutes if you want to call in. The number is 424-220-1801. You can ask me your questions and, you know, or talk about anything that you want to do, want to talk about related to your narcissistic abuse issues. And you could even talk about healing. But I want to say that I'm so excited because several of the people that I've been working with in counseling are really getting it. And their lives are really changing, and they're really excited about the future for the first time, maybe ever. People have not been working with me that long. And these people came to me very depressed, in very bad shape, not believing that they could ever get over this. So my thing is, I don't want you to hurt. You don't have to hurt. I know that hurting has been something that you've been doing your whole life. And there's a comfort in hurting. And there's a comfort in holding on to the past pain because it's what has defined you. And letting go of that pain leaves you feeling like the ground has dropped out from under you. You don't know who you are anymore when you're not clinging to the pain. But I've been there, and I can tell you that no sooner does the ground drop out from under you that you build this incredible life in place of it. So don't be afraid. And if you're hurting, please, please, please don't allow yourself to continue to hurt. One of the common problems of being a victim of narcissistic abuse is PTSD and complex PTSD. We all have it. We all have triggers. If you have that and you don't work through it, you are going to suffer for a lifetime. And you don't, that's the thing. You don't have to. You really don't have to. I'm sure there's other people out there doing the work that I'm doing. I don't really know who they are and I don't know how effective they are, but I know that I can help you. I know that I can alleviate that pain from your life. Or not me alleviate it, but help you alleviate it. I have tools to give you. I have things to tell you that relieve you of the guilt that you're feeling because there's so much guilt around this. And I have things to relieve you of the responsibility you feel for having participated in a relationship like this or stayed in a relationship like this or gone back to a relationship like this. There's a lot of guilt and responsibility, but it's false responsibility and false guilt because you could not have gotten out of the relationship you were in, whether it's parent-child, whether it's romantic. Your brain was changed. You were psychologically turned around. You were brainwashed. You could not have possibly left this environment. You didn't have the thought process to be able to do it. So it's easy to look back now that you're out and say, I should have done this and I should have done that and I should have gotten my children out and I should have, could have, would have. The truth is, and I will work with you on this, This was sheer victimization. You could not get out. Just like a spider web sets a trap, and once a bug is stuck in it, that's it. It can't get out. That is what the narcissist does. The narcissist sets traps for you that make it very, very difficult for you to get out. Many of you, and I guess actually all of you, because you are looking for answers, and you are listening to my podcasts, and you are reading my articles, and you are going on YouTube and searching and searching and trying to find answers for this. So you have woken up to this. And this is when the narcissist loses his or her power. Until you understand that, fully understand that, not with your head, but with every fiber of your being, you will continue to give the narcissist way more power than they really have over you. So, you know, counseling is something that some people feel uncomfortable about. Some people are very excited and they go right for it. And if you've had bad experiences with counseling, don't feel bad, because everyone I talk to in regard to narcissistic abuse does. They've all tried counselors that have made them feel bad, made them feel worse, or they've spent a fortune and not really gotten anywhere with it. I charge $60 an hour. It can't be any cheaper than that. And I do it. I'm always available. If you would talk to the people who call me, I counsel on Sundays. I counsel at night. I counsel in the morning. I reach out to people that are hurting because I don't want them to hurt. I know what it feels like to hurt. And I can't bear for all of you to be hurting, especially when I know that I can help you through it. So, if you are interested in counseling, and, you know, by me saying that, I'm really not soliciting on my own behalf. I'm soliciting on your behalf, because I know there are thousands of you listening to me, and only a handful will reach out at a time. And I find that difficult to bear, because I don't want you to hurt. So please reach out to me. And the way to do that is I counsel through either Skype or telephone. And if you go to randigfine.com, randigfine.com/fine-life-issues-counseling, it will take you to the page where you can actually make an appointment with me. And then as soon as I see that appointment come up, I will confirm it for you or offer you other times. And generally, you can get an appointment with me pretty quickly. Now, because I am available so many hours of the week that even though I have several clients, it's somehow spaces out throughout the week, and I'm able to see and talk to lots of people. My book is still in the process, where my literary agent is still looking for a publisher for my book. And the publishers, so far we haven't found one yet, truly believe that this book will get published. I have no problem with that. And if the publisher doesn't take it on, I will publish it, because I know you're out there waiting. The book is called Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, and it is going to be a handbook that you will not be able to put down. You're going to need it all throughout your life. So that's coming as a support system. And, you know, other than that, I just want to hear from you. And, you know, the show, I'm going to do the show, let's see, what's the date of the next one? The next show is January 13th at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And the show runs for 45 minutes. If you want to send me a letter ahead of time and get your questions answered on air, you can send it to loveyourlife@randigfine.com. And I will read the letter and answer it on air. The other thing is, thank you for all of those, all of you who have come to like the Facebook page, Narcissistic Abuse Survivors United. It's great to see some of your faces and to hear you participating. That's really, really wonderful. Still, it's not where I want it to be, because I know there are hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of you out there needing help. So please come to Narcissistic Abuse Survivors United, like the page, and see what I post. I'm offering you a support system there as well. It's a mild support system, but still it is a support system. So, visit me there. Let's see, what's the next show I'm doing? The next show I'm doing, I think it's with Nancy Vyden. And I'm pretty sure, if I'm not incorrect, that this is a show about suicide and how she overcame that suicide. So, the need or having tried to take her life. I think that's what this show is about. Don't hold me to it, because I do so many shows, it's very hard for me to remember. But I have her name down on my calendar, and I think that's... So that will be December 13th. And I wish you all a wonderful holiday season. This is a time, if you have bad memories related to the holiday season, this is a time to make new memories. Make new memories. People that you love, if you're in a new relationship, change it up. Do something very different that's very special with that person that only the two of you have ever done and will ever do, so that you don't mourn the loss of the other situation. It's very hard to be a victim of narcissistic abuse. And generally, it's very, very uncommon that all children in a family especially will get healed. It's usually one. And that person has to rise above so much adversity, because they basically have to lose their family in order to heal. This doesn't have to be a forever thing, because once you do heal, you can have relationships on your terms, and you will know how to do that. But you have to be the one to not go to the Christmas parties. You have to be the one, you know, to not show up on Christmas Eve, or to not be the bearer of gifts. And you have to be the one that you know is being talked about. And it's hard. It's very, very hard. But when I tell you that you will be such an amazing, strong person after healing from this, it's a blessing in disguise. And that might be really hard for you to hear, but I'm telling you, this is a wake-up call. Having gone through this is a wake-up call that helps you to address the things that hurt inside of you and to fix those things and to not rely on living in the past or blaming or misfortune or saying, woe is me, I had this, and therefore I am. No, you don't want to do that. You want to rise above this, and you can rise above it. And I can help you do that. So I hope that you will reach out to me. So that is all I have for you today. And nobody called in. I really, really would love to talk to you guys. I know this may not be a great time. You know, even if I get letters and people say, I can't call in at 11 a.m. Eastern time, but I can call in at X, you know, whatever time it is. If you let me know that, I'll change the time. I want to talk to you. I really want to talk to you, and I want you to call in. I think that's it. So, thanks again. I want to thank you very much for tuning in and listening to Free Advice Friday on A Fine Time for Healing. This is talk radio show host, author, life issues counselor, Randy Fine, signing off until next time. I wish you a beautiful holiday, and may joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.